In the last session, I talked about Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 11. When we walk in the light, we have the strength of His might. And with this might, we can overcome the enemy, devil, and Satan, and we can overcome poverty and all sorts of problems. And so this is what it means by to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Verse 11 talks about the schemes of the devil. They are not seen in the eyes, but they are everywhere in our lives. They make us sin. They lead us to sin. So we have to put on the full armor of light, full armor of God, so that we will stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of the wickedness in the heavenly places." So this explains against who we have to put on the full armor of God. In the world, mostly they fight about flesh and blood. So I hope you will also check yourself. This means our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is against the power of darkness, but not about flesh and blood. So we shouldn't have this kind of struggle. So what is flesh and blood? This is something that perishes and disappears. Everything in this world, fame, power, money, everything. Blood refers to... So blood is about life, as in Leviticus chapter 17, 11, verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." So what do the people consider life? It's money in this world. And money and everything material, all the material things. Some people study hard and they want success because they want to earn money. They want to make a lot of money. What if you can't make any money after getting a doctorate degree? How many people would try to get the degree? Suppose you work so hard, and if you can't make any money, and it's just a social service, how many people would actually do that? Probably few. You know, who will be satisfied just by the fact that they are doing social service if they don't make any money? Even if they say they are doing it for the society, actually everything is related with money. And there are so many corruptions, so much evil because of the money. So the interest of those who consider money as life is how to make more money. Some people, they even cut their hands or feet off to make money. It's insurance fraud. To get more insurance money, they purposely make an accident, or they make accidents in their family members, they make their family members get involved in some accidents. How evil this is. So they risk their lives just to get some money. And also, so many people try to get more fame and power so that they can have more money. They try to show themselves off. So this is the struggle struggle about flesh and blood. So flesh refers to everything that perishes and disappears. Everything in this world. Trying to lift themselves up in the world. Trying to get more things, enjoy more things. Trying to brag about some things, they are all flesh. And most people in the world live only for the flesh because they don't have any hope of heaven or faith. But how about you? You have faith, hope, and love, and you don't struggle to get the fame and power and money of the world. And yet, you are filled with the joy given by God the Father. And if you still struggle to get more fame and power and money, you have to think about your faith now. Is it really true? Think about Solomon, who enjoyed all the good things of the world. And he said in Ecclesiastes 1:2, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Everything about flesh and blood is vanity. King Solomon, his fame, power, money, wisdom, knowledge, they all came from God. When he first became the king, he followed the way of God and he tried to please God. So he gave 1,000 sacrifices and God appeared in his dream and just asked, what shall I give you? So when God asked him, what shall I give you? He answered that he wanted to govern the people entrusted to him, given by God. So he asked for wisdom. So God was so pleased with his request that God gave him everything else he didn't ask for. So all the fame and power and money, it was a blessing given by God. But Solomon changed his mind. His attitude changed. He became corrupted. So now, later he took the women who were worshiping idols, which was not pleasing in the sight of God at all. And toward the end of his life, he had to profess that everything in this world, all material things, is vanity. So when we live by the word of God, God gives us blessings, but our people's attitudes change very quickly. When we try to live by the word of God, we can receive the blessing of God, but when we don't live by the word of God, what is the meaning of the blessing that we receive? So we have to check every day whether we are actually really living by the word of God. Solomon said everything is vanity, but unlike him, how about the life of our shepherd? He only lived for the glory of God and for their souls. He didn't try to take anything. He didn't try to lift himself up. But rather, he was only suffering from persecutions and so many other sufferings. He had to go through so many other sufferings when he tried to live by the word of God and to expand his kingdom. But he only trusted God, and he always overcame all the time. And it's so different from the life of Solomon. So he's the life of our shepherd. Sometimes he had difficulties. Of course, he had peaceful time much more than he suffered. But in the history of Manmin Church, we can see that there were some hardships, persecutions, torments, some sorrow and mourning. But because he was doing it all for the kingdom of God and for their souls, they were not meaningless. They are all blessings, part of the blessings. So where does this difference come from? So that difference comes from changing the mind, changing the attitude. We have to keep on living by the word of God. There's no satisfaction from material things, even if you get everything you wished for. Eventually, it is all meaningless.
그 끝까지 내 삶이 하나님 앞에 온전하도록 하나님 앞에 인정받고 칭찬.
So we have to live in a way that is pleasing in the sight of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 50 says, Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So with flesh and blood, we can't inherit the kingdom of God, which is the most important thing. With perishable things, we can't inherit the imperishable. So, the object against which we have to struggle is the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. By rulers, it refers to political affairs. So let me elaborate on this by reflecting on the time of Jesus. Those who are persecuting Jesus or the believers in Jesus, mostly they were the rulers. They used their power and authority to kill the believers in Jesus Christ. The great persecution came from the Roman Empire, who was the most powerful man on the face of the earth at the time. It's the same today. There are disturbing works against the expansion of the kingdom of God. There are many schemes and evil plans against the children of God, and they come from these rulers who are incited and controlled by the enemy devil and Satan. But that doesn't mean all the rulers of the world are controlled by Satan. Please do not misunderstand. The evil rulers and the Satan incites, instigates their evil to persecute the believers. On the contrary, if they have good heart, God will also work through their good heart and expand the kingdom of God. But of course, the world is more evil than good. So many rulers, many leaders, they are incited, instigated by Satan. And in many cases, they are used as instruments of Satan. And through that instigation, there is they don't just come from the political affairs or rulers or governors, but these works also come from our everyday lives. And you should also understand that you shouldn't be used as instruments of Satan. And when Senior Pastor was explaining about this, he mentioned our church. Put on the full armor of God, this message was delivered in 1999. And Senior Pastor said, in this church, we have never created any schemes or we have never come up with any plans to kill anybody, to destroy anybody. I'm sure you have never heard Senior Pastor say anything bad or about other churches, other pastors, or condemning other churches, or slandering other pastors, anybody actually. And sometimes I hear, because other co-pastors, assistant pastors are delivering the messages, sometimes they get pangs of conscience and they ask the pastors not to deliver such messages. Suppose if the preachers are preaching something different than what Senior Pastor preached, then you definitely have to point it out and bring it bring it up to the church. But just because you have pangs of conscience, then you shouldn't make those requests, not to preach those things. So this message was given in 1999. And yet, we see that it still applies to us today. So you can just accept everything with thanksgiving. And we've never, in this church, we've never tried to attack anybody, destroy anybody. These messages are given by the, based on the teachings of the senior pastor who teaches only according to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And of course, that is why you shouldn't ever judge, pass judgment on the sermons. So in this church, we've never come up with any schemes or plans to destroy anybody. Even for the evil people or organizations, we have never revealed their names and we've never revealed any iniquities or faults of evil people on the pulpit. So senior pastor said we've never done that since the opening of the church. And we only teach goodness and practice goodness. So that is why we have so many works of God, signs and wonders. And there are some people who try to find faults and try to disturb the church. And you should understand that they are controlled by Satan. They try to, they study and do a research to give us a hard time and to find our faults. There were people like that before, and there are people like that today as well. And this is all controlled by Satan, we have to understand. Do we teach any untruth here in this church? Do we ever teach you to commit sins? Because we teach the Bible as it is it wrong? We teach that you have to go the narrow way, and is it wrong? We have never taught anything that is in violation with the Word of God. We only teach the Word of God, only the Bible. And because we only teach the Bible as it is, God is pleased and God loves us. And God guarantees us with His signs and wonders. There are so many churches, and how many of them are able to show signs and wonders? Probably only a few. But in this church, we always experience the work of God. We always see the guarantee and a testing of God. So who gets the glory? God Himself. Because the shepherd performs with the power of God. He never said, I am doing this. I am to receive the glory. He has never done that. He has never said that. So we give all the glory to God. And also, we give thanks to the senior pastor for praying for us, because he's the one who prayed for us. It's a natural course of human relationship. And we give all the glory only to God. So to do that, do we have any schemes and plans? Okay, suppose up to the last year, there were so many people who got healed and who gave testimonies in the summer retreat. So this year we might, if we don't have anybody who is giving the, if you don't have the people who are healed and who give testimonies, then those who left the church, they might ridicule us. So we come up with this idea that we buy some people out and buy them with money and let them give them some kind of a healing testimonies. Of course not. We've never tried to. We say that if you are not healed, you shouldn't be saying you are healed. But some people, they are healed and later they are sick again. They are healed. Actually, they are healed. It's not a lie. After you are healed, if you don't live by the Word of God, sometimes something worse happens. But in most cases, because they live by the Word of God, they don't get sick again. They still keep on living, just living a happy, healthy life. But sometimes they are healed, but they don't live by the word of God. So as Jesus warned in the Bible, they get sick again. Then you shouldn't say that the healing was wrong just by looking at these minor cases. And in most cases, you live a healthy life. And we've never asked anybody to tell a lie, such a lie. If we did, when they try to find faults, because some people try to find faults in them, it'll be revealed here and there. Because they will come clean, saying, oh, I've been paid to give testimony. Without paying them, without making them lie, we have so many testimonies. So God receives glory from our church. And we preach the gospel to so many souls. And there are some people who try to find faults in them. And whose work is it? It's Satan's work. It's the work of the darkness. This is what this reading passage is explaining about. So we have to understand the scheme of the devil. Why are men of God being attacked? It's the devil's work. So that we can be on the alert and pray. And this is what God wants us to do to overcome the schemes of the devil. To put on the full armor of God and overcome. The devil sometimes uses evil rulers, evil governors to bring persecutions on the believers. Dear brothers and sisters. So the one we have to fight against. Just because it's against the rulers, does that mean we have to fight against them by force? No. Of course not. Our struggle is only the fight of good fight of faith. We can just think about our Lord. At the time of Jesus, Israel was under the rule of the Roman Empire. So Jesus didn't say to his disciples, make yourselves strong and maybe demonstrate or cause a riot or nothing. He didn't teach anything like that. And also the leaders, the Jewish leaders, they tried to kill him. And did Jesus say, oh, why do you keep quiet? You have to fight against them. No, never. Or did he say, oh, I'm suffering so much. Why don't you do something? Of course not. He never said anything like that. He only taught goodness. He taught them to follow the law of the country too. So what is Caesar's? Give to Caesar's. And what is God's? Give to God. That was Jesus' teaching. That is what our shepherd has been teaching too. He has been always teaching us to keep the law of the country, and he has been teaching us to pray for the government and the leaders too. And our Lord didn't fight against the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, or argued with them. You know, if there are people who are trying to disturb the kingdom of God, we shouldn't react with evil. Or just because they persecute us personally, we shouldn't fight back by force. As in Romans 12:11, we have to overcome by evil. We must not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So overcoming evil is not arguing with them and pressing them. Reacting in evil against the evil is to lose. Just because they act in evil toward us, if we slander together, fight together, then it means we lose to the devil, to evil. the enemy devil and Satan, when we get angry, irritated, or throw temper tantrum, that is their winning. Suppose there is Mary and Jane. Mary is incited by Satan and slanders Jane. And this Jane stays quiet, and she only prays for Mary and follows peace, pursues peace. So who is the winner in the truth? It's Jane. She overcame with good. She was slandered for a moment, but she followed goodness and love. So she overcame evil with good. So eventually, God will give her victory. Suppose if you slap you, somebody slaps you on the right cheek, God teaches us that we have to turn the other cheek also. Just because others slander us, because the others judge us, if you do the same, then it means we are also evil. We lost to evil. This is what the devil wants. That doesn't mean in the church, even if there are people who are disturbing, who are disgracing God, you have to keep quiet. Of course, you have to admonish them and you have to teach them the truth. But just because somebody slanders you, gossips about you, if you do the same, it means you lose to evil. So you shouldn't fight back, but you have to act in goodness. You shouldn't slander back, or you should argue back, or quarrel back, but you have to just lose. So you have to humble yourself and serve. You just have to follow the way of the Lord and the prophets. Walk in the light. Just react in goodness. Sometimes it looks like you're losing. Sometimes you're suffering. When you only show goodness, sometimes it looks like you're dying. You're being destroyed. It looks like you're being ridiculed and mocked. But when you actually follow the way of goodness, soon, definitely, goodness will win. Because God is with goodness, and there is the justice of God. So definitely and necessarily, goodness will overcome. And God will give us victory and let us give Him glory. So this is the way of goodness. So this church also, we've many times since the opening, we've been wrongfully accused, we've been persecuted without a reason, without a cause, but we only followed the way of goodness, and we overcame. So let us remember the teachings and deeds, the actions of the senior pastor, and follow his footsteps. Let us obey this message so that you will overcome in every spiritual battle. Winning is not difficult. You can just follow goodness. You can just think about what goodness is and just follow the way of goodness. But I'm not saying it is goodness to just to be quiet about those people who slanders pastors and the church. Other people, they are evil. Then you give them advice. You admonish them. And you pray for them. And they don't listen. And you have to keep on praying for them so that they will change. And you shouldn't stand in line with them. And this is the way of goodness. But struggling and arguing and revealing their faults together, this is also evil act. And above the rulers and the powers, there is this power of darkness. We have to understand this. The latter part of verse 12 says, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. There is an order in the world of evil spirits too. They have different roles. And saying this, senior pastor said, he said there is an order in the kingdom of God, And also he explained about angels. And you have guardian angel each for each of you. One guardian angel each for each of you. But if you are especially loved by God, you have more than one. But of course, mostly, if you are children of God, you have at least one guardian angel. And if that guardian angel, if the master, depending on the extent to which you are loved by God, the master is loved by God, the appearance of the guardian angel is also different. If you are loved by God more, then the guardian angel will be changed. Angels, they don't grow up like people. So suppose you have, they don't grow up and their appearances change. They don't. So their appearances don't change. So the more you resemble God, you will, if you resemble God more, then you'll have a different guardian angel who is who has more dignity and beauty. And your guardian angel will show respect. Those whose spiritual eyes are open, they explain. The guardian angels, they have different orders, different hierarchy. So when you meet somebody who is much more loved by God, your guardian angel knows that the other guardian angel is much higher in the order, in the hierarchy. Do you wish that your guardian angel is much more powerful and much more beautiful? Then you can just resemble God more. God can even send you multiple numbers of guardian angels. And in the Bible, Bible also talks about the order and hierarchy of the angels. Because there is an archangel. There are archangels. And there are many different kinds of angels and orders in the world of spirits. But it's the same in the world of evil spirits, because Lucifer copied the world of God, God's kingdom. So they have their own orders and hierarchy. And in major categories, there are powers that instruct evil things, and there are powers that actually do the evil things, the things of the darkness. First, spiritual forces of wickedness. Isaiah 14:12 says, the star of the morning, son of the dawn, it's Lucifer. And Lucifer is like the king, and there are dragons, and dragons are like the army generals. So they mainly concern themselves with the main flow of the whole world, the evil flows of the whole world. So they control the part of darkness all of the world. Lucifer deals with the rulers and powers of the world, the leaders of the world, leaders of the countries, so that they can make the world a lot more evil place. And let us apply this into our lives. In our lives, we usually mostly say the enemy, devil, and Satan. There are many things that the enemy, devil, and Satan do, and they are controlled by Lucifer. Lucifer is the head of all the evil spirits, and she controls devil and Satan. And Satan controls the thoughts of men. Satan gives us thoughts of untruths, thoughts of sin. Suppose Jesus said to his disciples, I will soon be arrested and I'll be crucified. He foretold them about it. And Peter said to Jesus, please don't do that. This will never happen to you. And what did Jesus say? You love me so much. You love me so much. You love me more than anybody among the 12. He didn't say that. He said, Satan, get behind me. Why? It's because Satan controlled the fleshly thoughts of Peter and made him say something against the will of God. Jesus had to take the cross. It was the way to fulfill the providence of salvation. And he had to explain it before it happened. Of course, the disciples could have been afraid and surprised. So Peter said, this will never happen to you. Because in fleshly sense, it's good. But Jesus wasn't tempted by the fleshly words. Precisely, he drove away Satan from Peter. We have to do the same. If this Satan controls the thoughts, fleshly thoughts, so if we receive any thoughts of Satan, we have to drive them away. And if the people are doing things to motivate and agitate our evil natures, then we have to drive it away too. So that you can also change them, change the others too. Somebody is delivering some kind of saying something to you, and it delivering something to you, delivering some words to you, and these words agitate your evil natures. Then you should say, let us not deliver this kind of word. Drive it away. Drive the Satan away from that person this way. Then you wouldn't be affected by such words. And others will also turn from those ways quickly so they can stand on the rock, stand on the truth. So let us discern everything with the word of God, with the truth. So that you can overcome the works of Satan. So Satan was controlling the thoughts of Peter. And if you accept these works of Satan, then the devil makes you do it, put it into practice. So the devil makes us commit the sin in action. Lucifer controls this devil and Satan so that we can have fleshly thoughts, sinful thoughts, and then put it into action and actually commit the sin. And also next to the Lucifer are dragons. And they are the head of the actual rulers of the leaders of the power of darkness in this world. And so they love being worshipped. So they are these drawings and shapes of dragons, they are kind of everywhere. Even in the money, in our history, they had drawings of dragons in Chinese emperors, Korean kings, in many kings' robes. So, these dragons are worshipped in this way, and they represent the evil spirits, but the unbelievers, they are not aware of this fact. And if you see any dragons, you should be careful. Dragons are not just some imaginary animal. They are actually existent in the spiritual realm. They were actually loved by God. But when Lucifer betrayed God, Lucifer deceived dragons too, and they also betrayed God together with Lucifer, and they became evil spirits. And in their heart, they have the heart of the Lucifer, exactly the same heart. So they do the things according to the will of Lucifer. And these dragons are like the army generals of the military. and they do the things of the darkness. Dragons control the devil, and the devils control demons. So they harass and give hard time to the people so that they will be led to hell. Demons are controlled by the devil, and the devil is controlled by the dragons. So this is the order of the evil spirits, and the demons try to come into the people. When they come into the people, they give them hard time and they lead them to hell. And also there are messengers of dragons. And they work on the people in the darkness so that they will do a lot of lawlessness. Even though the enemy devil and Satan, they are controlling this world, they can't control the man of truth. They can't control the truth. They control only those who walk in the darkness. So they make these people more evil. They make these people commit more sins. So that they will give hard time to other people, and so on and so forth. And also the messengers of dragons, what do? First, they make them make the people do the things of the beasts, animals. If they are controlled by the devil, they do the things that are so dirty and filthy that are done only by animals. Even the worldly people, they say, they are like beasts. They are worse than animals. So they are done by the messengers of dragons. It's just like things like human trafficking. How can human beings sell another human being for money? So they are there are so many other things, but I don't have time to explain everything. But secondly, the messengers of dragons, they try make the people create synagogues of Satan, so that the members will do the things of the devil. For example, Judas Iscariot came in line with those who tried to kill Jesus, and he formed a synagogue of Satan, and he came with the soldiers, Jewish soldiers, to arrest Jesus, and darkness was controlling him completely. So you should be cautious about synagogues of Satan. The enemy devil always tries to make different factions. Those who left the church and who are doing evil things, they are doing evil things outside the church. But trying to make factions in the church, we have to be always on the alert about this. That is why in the 1 Corinthians lectures, Paul talks about this. There's divisions in the church. We have to stand firm against all kinds of divisions in the church. And we have to only live by the teachings of the leader. We know about, we should clearly understand about the world of evil spirits and overcome. But the work of darkness is not only about disturbing the church, but also about our everyday lives. Suppose there is the spirit of deception. When you give offerings to God, sometimes they let you feel it's wasteful. Oh, I have so much expenditure this month, and maybe I can give this tithe next month. So this is the thought of the devil. Thought of Satan. So this is how they try to deceive you and tempt you. And in some cases, God, through the Holy Spirit inspires you in your heart to do something so that God can bless you. But you are again blocked by Satan, so that you can't do what the Holy Spirit is urging you to do. The Holy Spirit is urging you to give offerings to God so that God can bless you. But Satan is giving you opposite thoughts. That why should I do this alone? And maybe I might as well not do this. So You can receive the blessings of God. So also, when you are under tests and trials, when your heart is afflicted, there are also works of Satan. Sometimes, because you committed sins, your heart is afflicted. So the Holy Spirit is groaning too. So you have to realize the spiritual problem and answer. But when you don't receive the answer quickly enough, when you have financial difficulties, you just think financial difficulties are financial difficulties, and if you don't realize the spiritual cause, and that is something that's a shame. Just don't think physical problems are physical problems, but try to find the reason spiritually. Then you'll be really able to solve the problem. Suppose you didn't give some tithe, or you didn't give full tithe. You gave less than what you're supposed to give. You didn't give one whole tenth. So, sometimes you didn't give the vowed offering. Then, of course, the enemy devil and Satan will disturb you. They have a ground to accuse you. Or maybe you became cool. You cooled down in your faith after receiving blessings. Then maybe there is a financial problem. There, because there is a spiritual problem, there are problems in physical life, in your actual life as well, because the enemy, devil, and Satan, they bring you troubles. So when you go through troubles and problems, if you just think about the reality and not about the spiritual things, then you can't really solve this problem. Spiritual problems must be solved spiritually. So if you try to solve them physically, then you can't. If you understand the spiritual realm and solve the problem in a spiritual way, it'll go away right away, immediately. So, what is the spiritual way? You can just realize what the barrier of sin is against God, and you can just bring it down, break it down. There must be something that you did wrong, and you have to realize it, and you have to repent of it, and not do it again, and God will give you the way out. So our struggle is not against something visible, but it is about the spiritual realm. There is definitely the spiritual realm, and according to the victory or loss in the spiritual world, our victory or loss will be decided in the physical world as well. If we win against enemy devil and Satan, any kind of physical problem will be resolved as well. So that is why the shepherd is only relying on God, because he's not suffering because of sin, but only because of schemes of the devil, because he understands the spiritual principle. So he's just waiting quietly, bearing, enduring quietly, waiting for the will of God to be revealed completely. So what do we have to do? We have to pray and fast. And we have to follow the way of goodness. And we have to change ourselves to make ourselves better. So this is the way to solve this problem that we have today. So it's the same with taking care of the souls. When you try to bring somebody to church, or right after they came to church, there could be a lot of disturbances of the devil in those newcomers. For many months, you try to bring this person to church. You take care of them, preach the gospel to them. So they are now willing to come to church. Maybe they think, maybe I can be healed as well by God. Or so they makes a promise to come to church next week. But then during this week, there is something. And you call them and say, and to check. And maybe the parents came suddenly, so they can't come. Or maybe their children are sick suddenly, so they can't come. So the devil is trying to work with the surroundings of these people who are supposed to come to church. So they are trying to stop these people from becoming God's children. So to drive away this part of darkness, the preachers, the leaders, they can help them with prayers and fast so that even those who have weak faith, they can overcome. So that is why you have to pray for them. Now, so that those who are supposed to come to church, they can make up their mind, and also they wouldn't have any kind of disturbing things in their surroundings, like their parents or children or other people, relatives, whoever. So they can actually come to church. So senior pastor said, the leaders, pastors, they have to visit the members registered, visit the members in the same week they register in case of newcomers. The senior pastor has been advising us, so we shouldn't forget. This is something that never changes. Whoever registers in the church, we have to visit them in that same week to drive away the enemy, devil, and Satan so that they can be saved. Because they have weak faith and they don't have faith yet, so the devil, not to lose them, the devil always tries to give them something, so that give them some reasons not to come to church. So to drive them away and to bring them to church, we need to pray and fast. And if somebody doesn't come to church this week, you have to visit them this Monday, next, tomorrow, or day after. You have to still visit, you have to visit them and give them hope of heaven, preach to them that God is really alive. And if they say, oh, I watched the GCN TV, then that is not the right way. You have to come to church. You have to come before God, actually. So this is the advice from the senior pastor, so that the power of darkness wouldn't be able to disturb them. You have to visit them, give them faith and hope, and drive away the power of darkness from them in advance, too. And if you are at ease in this spiritual battle, you don't know when this devil and Satan, they snatch these souls away. So you should also overcome, and also to keep the souls, you have to put on the full armor of God. The verse 13, verse 13 of the Ephesians chapter 6. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. The reason for having to take up the full armor of God, that it is to be able to resist in the evil day. Evil day is during the time which enemy devil and Satan is controlling this world. So since the moment they took the power of the air until the Lord comes back, even though the world is so dark, soon, when the time comes, the authority, the power of the devil will come to an end. And eternally happy days are waiting for us. Will the devil disturb us in heaven after we go to heaven? Of course not. The devil will be confined in the abyss, bottomless pit. And until that time, with their power, they will try to disturb the believers, disturb with the kingdom of God, and they will try to take away faith from the believers. And when Jesus was driving away the demons called Legion, the demons were saying, our time has not come yet, and why do you disturb us? We still have our power now on this earth, and why do you disturb us now? Why do you try to drive us away? So they know that they have limited time period for their time. They know that their time is limited and numbered. And they know that it is very near. So that because they know the end is near, they give out more evil. They try to bring down the kingdom of God even more. So, until we meet the Lord again, we should be on the alert and stand firm against the power of darkness. And we should be able to stand before the Lord, our bride, without any shame after having done everything. Having done everything means overcoming evil, overcoming in the struggle against sins, recovering the lost image of God, and to overcome the power of darkness in accomplishing the kingdom of God. All my members, I hope you will not lack in any respect and be able to be at the bosom of the Lord. Let me conclude a message. If you have untruth in you, it can be controlled by Satan. So you should be on the alert and pray fervently and be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Casting away sins, yielding. It might feel hard, but it doesn't mean you should stop. You shouldn't stop just because you've changed a lot. You have to always reflect yourself against the truth, the Word of God, and try to cast away every bit of evil. So that this way, you'll be a man of goodness who resembles God, and you should be faithful to the kingdom of God. This is everything that we have to do. So I hope you will do all these things, all this everything, and be able to command it by the Lord. Let us pray together, thinking about the message.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.